And we're back.
Things that went wrong in that particular transition from the top included Bell and Sebastian being the first thing in front of me, having made fun of them for 6 years on air as being one of my more hated outfits. I'm now promoing them between tracks.
Well done.
I was trying to... What happened is I tried to go back to our callers.
Yes.
And was trying to get their names.
It's good to linger at the scene of the accident, I find.
Multitasking.
Difficult.
We're talking books here on The Blower.
There's plenty of callers. We're just going to stay with them, I think.
Yeah, let's do that.
This is the first Tuesday book club.
Yeah, right.
But we do it once a year as opposed to their rather lazy once a month.
That is a very lazy format, isn't it, really? Why can't it be on every week? The movie show is on every week.
You've got no argument with me. Hello, have we got a reader there? Is it Jules? Hello?
Hi, is it through to me?
Yeah, it is you.
Hey.
What's your name?
Just before I mention the book, I just wanted to ask Tony what is if he was able to comment on it, what his opinion of Ricky Gervais is. Like, has he listened to it?
Oh, you mean Tony Martin?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony.
Sorry.
I should have differentiated. It's Casey, by the way.
Well, what I think of Ricky Gervais... Well, I'm a huge fan of Ricky Gervais. I just worry that he might be spreading himself a bit thin.
Yeah, I heard him on Letterman last night, and he was actually repeating a story of Carl Pilkington's as if it was one of his own.
Yeah. I mean, the Office is, it's just...
Well, it's gold. You can't fault The Office in any way whatsoever.
No, it's
really.
It's in the pantheon of great comedy shows, but...
Yeah, well, I kind of get offended when people compare it to the US version.
Yeah, but there was... You know, I remember Ricky Gervais saying very early on in his career that he wasn't just going to show up in bad American movies, and then he showed up in Night at the Museum and
Ghost World or whatever it's called.
Well,
Stardust, that's not a bad film.
Well, Stardust, but then the one you just mentioned, not Ghost World, Ghost Town. Actually all right. It was a big flop, so it hasn't come out here.
I heard that was all right. I know people have seen it, and they said, Ricky's part in it is okay, but...
Yeah. He didn't write it.
I know he didn't write it and stuff, yeah.
The test will be he has written a film and directed a film called The Other Side of the Truth, which sounds, I have to say, very similar to the plot of... Is it a reverse of the plot of Liar Liar? Ricky Gervais lives in a world where nobody can lie. And suddenly he develops the ability to not tell the truth. So I don't know. I'm hoping that will be...
So he's basically... It's not... It's derivative.
Well, yeah. I just hope it comes out good.
Yeah. Through the execution of it, sure. And I was just going to ask, have you listened to the podcast at all?
Yeah, I have. I mean, I love those podcasts. But, it does...
Yeah.
It's, again, it's kind of the same all the time.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it brings me to... he said he was going to totally change the format of them with this most recent series, and he hasn't really. He's put a bit of classical music on the intros and the outros.
And
there's a theme per episode, but that's it.
And now I see Carl Pilkington has his own podcast.
Oh, no, really?
And I think the thing that really was...
I was just going to say that, he's relying so much on Pilkington, and, I really thought that maybe with the change of format that he was talking about that it would be something different, but it's not.
Well, I think in the early days, as a listener, you were going, is Carl Pilkington...
Nah, I knew he was completely stupid. I knew he wasn't an invented character some people in the press alleged. I mean, come on,
Well, for people who haven't seen it, you can download a couple of the Ricky Gervais podcasts
for free on iTunes. Yeah.
Well, he started to actually complain about that. He's charged after the first year. They were free initially.
But
now everything you have to pay for.
If you do want a free podcast, and it's a... Well, it's a beautiful one, really. In the sad aftermath of Richard Marsland's death, Tony and
Ed Cavalier and Matt Dower
have got back together and have done a Richard Lives podcast. So
it's 75 minutes. It does take a long time to download, but we just figured if it was going to be a Get This podcast, it should go way over time and have far too many sketches in it. But it is free. It's not a money-making venture at all.
That would be, it's not like you're making money off it. It's not like it's an audio book, which is what Gervais is now selling.
Oh, right.
Yes. It's a bit different.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is a a kind of repetitive format, the Gervais podcast, but when it is on fire, it is hysterical.
Yeah, when Carl says something that is particularly insane, then...
Do you remember there was one where they asked Carl if they were going to set up a second planet Earth repopulate...
Is that the one where who he was going to take with him?
Who are the six people you would take? And he had Jamie Oliver as one of them. I was crying with laughter listening to that.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, like who else he wanted?
Was Ricky Gervais going, "You've chosen old people." Like he had Stephen Hawking. How's he going to get about?
And what was who's the astronomer guy he had?
He had your Patrick White. Yeah. No, not Patrick White. That's an author. Patrick somebody.
British personality.
Name, but yeah, like, you know, and it's like he's trying to justify it by going, oh, well, you know, I know, well, you know, I mean, the question is, how do you, you know, what people would you choose to start a new society and stuff?
An astronomer.
And he's going, oh, well, yeah, well, I'd pick him because he'd know how to get there.
But once he's there...
we'll try another call. Thank you very much for your contribution there.
I'm sorry I didn't get to talk about the book.
That's all right.
Can I just mention the name of it?
Yes.
It's Juliana Hatfield's memoir. I just would recommend it to anyone who's would like to see like a biting kind of account of what it's like to be in the indie music industry in the US.
Excellent. Thank you, Casey, very much.
The clubs you have to play are...
Great. We'll try if we've got a full board, Tom.
No, I'm really sorry.
Excuse me.
I totally sidetracked the conversation.
That's all right. No worries.
Hello. Have we got another reader there that's stuck with us?
Yeah, John here.
How are you, John? Hi,
John.
I'm doing well, Tony. It's good to hear you both.
Oh, thank you.
And I've got some graphic novels.
Yeah?
Oh, which ones?
Because I'm a big sort of comic and graphic novel reader, but it's some stuff I read in the last year that I really loved. First one by Eddie Campbell, sort of Scottish guy based in Brisbane now, called The Amazing Remarkable Monsieur Leotard. And it's the adventures of... the nephew of Jules Leotard, you know, the sort of the original sort of man on the flying trapeze, whose you know, single piece costume is what the Leotard is named after.
Right.
But he dies on like page 12, and then the rest is all about his nephew sort of going through all these hijinks, and it's just a wonderful, sort of beautiful sort of tale. Lots of episodes. There's a talking bear in it for no particular reason. And it's actually sort of comedic, but it's got some really beautiful, touching moments in it as well. So the younger Leotard and all of his buddies just sort of traipse through all these moments in sort of European history, including the sinking of the Titanic, and one of them gets accused of being Jack the Ripper and all this sort of stuff. So it's a real romp through history, and it's just a really, really lovely book. It's really great.
Excellent. So that's a graphic novel called?
Yeah, The Amazing Remarkable Monsieur Leotard.
Oh, thank you for that one.
And that's really great. And a really good Australian one that came out, which is great. There's a handful of good Australian graphic novels that have come out recently as well. And it's by a Melbourne guy called Bruce Moutard. And he's put out a book called The Sacrifice, which is great. Set in Melbourne, like at the beginning of the Second World War.
Right. Excellent.
And it's this the main character is this guy called Robert Wells, and he's sort of left-leaning, sort of pacifist, sort of communist sympathizer, and he's sort of, you know, challenged by the war, and it's really deep. It's so set in Melbourne. It's beautiful sort of artwork and the writing. It's very dense in the politics of what was happening during the war, and lots of people sitting around having cups of tea talking about the war. And
what's that Aussie film with set at the start of the Second World War with one of the Dillons in it?
Which is that? Rebel.
Rebel.
Oh, I don't know that one.
With Deborah Byrne.
Nor should you.
Yes, well, that's obviously...
Nor should you, John.
This book is an antidote to that.
Yeah, and it's great. It's got this beautiful scene where just sort of before he's about to sort of go off to war, he just wanders like the streets of St Kilda one night sort of contemplating stuff, and, you know, there's drunken American troops everywhere, and it's
excellent.
It's just brilliantly set, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful book that gives an amazing sense of place. It's so good. And one final one which I absolutely loved. Have you guys heard of a guy called Chris Ware?
No.
Chris Ware. He's done some stuff for The New Yorker and that, but he's maybe you might know his other book, Jimmy Corrigan, The Smartest Kid on Earth.
No.
Oh, you guys have got to read more graphic novels.
I've never read even a comic.
Oh, get out of here.
Seriously, I can't,
when you're a kid?
I have a, you know, when you do those IQ tests, I struggle with spatial stuff, and I find it very unpleasant reading.
There's this cat called Garfield. You should really check it out.
There you go. I'll get hold of it. Thank you, John. We've got one more, and then we're going to play a song. The CD player went to sleep before. That's how long it's been. Let's just try another caller. Hello, this is our last one before the alleged song. Hello?
Hello.
What have you got for us?
Okay, just quickly, because everybody probably knows it, but Breath by Tim Winton I've just finished.
Good surf scenes?
Yeah, fantastic book. And then I've got two books which I've just reviewed which are being released this month. The first one is called Cost by Roxana Robinson. And it's about a family, well, the main character is the mother whose son has become a drug addict, and she calls her dysfunctioning family around her. Her mother's got Alzheimer's and her sister is estranged, her husband's divorced, to try and save her son. And it's the cost that they all pay in trying to save this son from his heroin addiction. So not so much about the heroin addiction, but more the family around.
It's a certainty to become an Australian film then, because it seems that every film is, at the moment, is made about heroin addiction.
Ah, well, this is an American book. It's set in Maine and New York. So
excellent.
Yeah, and the other one is called The Piano Teacher, and I think it's by Janice J.K. Lee. I've lent it to somebody. Which is about a scandal at the time of the invasion of the Japanese in Hong Kong, which I knew very little about. I didn't realise that the Japanese had invaded Hong Kong. Very brutal book. Both books aren't easy holiday reads, I must say. But
once you get back to work, get into them.
Yeah. If you're wanting something light and fluffy, perhaps a bit of Maggie Alderson. But both books are really good and really involving, you know, can't put down sort of book. So they should, I'm pretty sure they're both being released this month.
Thank you very much for that.
Top reads.
Very much top reads.
Now, this song that I've promised for some time now relates to books in the sense that Tony Martin wrote a book called Lolly Scramble 3 years ago.
Ish.
And the Madness song, House of Fun.
Oh, yes. Well, I still have a picture 45. Some of your older listeners would know what I'm talking about. A picture record. It's a vinyl record with a picture printed. And I was living with a mad Canadian woman who was my landlady, and she just eventually I was evicted for a number of offences against taste, and this was one of them because her young daughter kept playing this on her gramophone, and then my landlady heard that this song was in fact about contraceptives. Which is what it's about. I had no idea myself.
I didn't either. I wasn't listening to the words. Madness. Barry Adamson,
yes.
A Tony Martin selection, Walk on Fire, the album, Back to the Cat by Barry Adamson, first heard on this station by you, I believe.
Yeah, I heard that on Dave Grady's show, but I'm a big fan of, this is how old I am, Magazine, Howard Devoto and Magazine in the late 70s, and Barry Adamson was in Magazine, and sadly in Visage as well, fade to grey.
And Banana Lounge Broadcasting is on every week.
Great show.
Midday.
Great
Tuesdays.
Show. Yes.
And that follows Spoke, which is a show I've been doing a monthly appearance on over the last year. Before that, we heard House of Fun by Madness, a song which was featured in Tony Martin's 2005 release. Or 2004 release,
no,
Lolly
2005,
Scramble.
2005, yeah. And writing a second one coming out later this year.
So what's the process of writing I guess it's not really certainly not an autobiography in a traditional sense. It's a humour book, I guess, in terms of what section it goes into.
Well, that's right. It's meant to be in the humour section, but that's a horrible ghetto to be in
Maxie Walker. You've got
the graffiti book. Yeah, Who Farted. You're next to Who Farted, basically.
Yeah.
But I think, it's still available at Borders. They generally have it in the humour ghetto.
It's the same as my book. Still available at Borders. They really stick with you at Borders.
They do, yeah. I think that's the only place. Or you can just go into a bookshop. People forget this. You can go into a bookshop and order it if they haven't got it, and it will arrive a week later.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we've been, without sounding too sort of patting ourselves on the back, we've been having lunch a few times this year, and both of us trying to write our second book, and both suffering, I guess, from second book syndrome.
It's the lonely, solitary life of giving this up, really. The daily breakfasts experience was such a great connection to the city. And you actually realise I go down to the Abbotsford Convent every day, and it's quite a solitary time. I've even questioned whether my time with Handsome Steve at the Handsome Steve's House of Refreshment there at the convent, whether he is in fact the bartender out of The Shining, and I am Jack Nicholson. That's that has crossed my mind. And yours?
Well, I'm 6/7 of the way through. Obviously, I was supposed to be finished by the end of the year, but then sadly, the Richard Marsland business happened, and that sort of threw a spanner in the works for a while. But I'm on the home stretch, I think.
And the start, what's it going to be called? Or the working title?
It's called A Nest of Occasionals, which is a hard thing to explain, but it will make sense when people read it.
Yes.
But yeah, it's more of the same. In fact, I'm hoping they'll put the phrase "more of the same" on the. That's what I'd like the review to say on the front. More of the same.
So anyone who's looking for the Tony Martin tell-all radio story, that's not going to happen.
I am working on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am writing a book about Triple M and its long, slow downfall. It's called Wankers Away, and I'm hoping that will come out the following year. But the one this year is called A Nest of Occasionals, and it's just been, you know, do you find this? You're trying to make it better,
yeah,
but you're hoping that in the process it's not less funny.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I'm constantly worried, oh yeah, I want it to be better written, but you're worrying, I don't want it to be, you know, not as many jokes because I'm trying to write it fancier. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, my one, I've set it in London, the second novel, which
wow.
is it also looks at an ex-sportsman. My first book looked at an ex-sportsman.
Yes.
And this one again looks at an ex-sportsman.
Well, I have to say, I didn't read your novel for years because I thought, oh, it's going to be about football and I won't understand it. But there's very little about football.
Just one chapter.
Yeah.
About breathing through my ears.
Yeah.
One of the strange things I found when I got tired in a game of football was I'd feel the Eustachian tube, I think it's called, between neck and ear. It seemed that I could breathe through my ears when I got tired.
Wow.
So I made the sports character in the one sporting chapter in Players. As he got tired, each breath would kind of reverberate through the ears. I spoke to doctors about it. I said, is it normal?
Right.
And none of them had any idea what I was talking about every time I brought it up.
It's a great example. What I love about your novel is that it's full of detail that's obviously from real life. And you've obviously played football and you've worked in television. And I mean, me and Mick Molloy used to do street interviews or Vox Pops on The Late Show, and I love how in the opening chapter you've got the, I don't want to say the,
you say the Sam Newman character.
Sam Newman character doing Vox Pops, and you say that now the more successful he gets, the less distance he and his crew travel from the van. And that was just such a great true detail. I remember when I hit that, I went, yep, I'm going to like this book. It's full of real stuff.
Well, and that was that little paragraph there was the entire reason at 11:24 that Tony Martin came on the show. So thank you very much for finally getting there. We've done we did the first hour on Australian cinema, launching off the back of David Stratton's book.
Yes.
We've done the second hour and 20 minutes on books.
Have we?
And I thought we'd round out with DVD series, which I know I've actually just... We should round out with whether you, how guilty do you feel all the time in life? Because I've bought a large television.
Oh God,
this week.
You're right. Black
so
balloons.
Having all those people who have heard me rail, like even only 3 weeks ago on Spoke, just came in with my entire preparation was coming with a baseball bat and saying, "I can't believe 5% and hitting stuff in the studio." That's all I did in the interview,
right?
In terms of greenhouse gases, and yet. In the shop, I'm there with my partner and saying, you know, I ride all the time. I just ride my bike all the
time.
There you
go. So you've got enough credit. You've got enough points in the bank to be able to have a giant telly. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Make sure you switch it off at the wall. That's important. Apparently, it stops the black balloons being released.
So possibly the segment should be on things, the guilt that you feel walking around your daily life, but that could get very ugly. So let's stay on the slightly safer territory of DVD series. And I know that you're...
You mean like TV series on DVD?
TV series on
Love
DVD.
Love it, yes.
Yeah. So ones I've looked at, series one of Larry Sanders, which is a... Sam Pang has hounded me for years and years to understand Larry Sanders and see where the Ricky Gervaises and these sorts of comedians have come from.
Well, sadly, only series one.
What's the story?
I'm not sure, but there were six series of Larry Sanders. It was 89 episodes, And, you know, they, and it gets it's one of those shows that actually gets better and better as it goes along. But for some reason, only the first series has come out. But there is a very good DVD you can get from America called Not Just the Best of the Larry Sanders Show, which has 23 episodes on it from all the six series, and just an amazing bunch of extras on it.
Well, Channel 9 will like that, because they liked playing episodes, I believe, just randomly from whatever series, depending on
year 10, I
on
think,
how
actually.
Big the celebrity was.
Channel 10. Yeah, they played it.
Because the premise of the show, of course, is that Larry Sanders is a fictional talk show host, but he is interviewing real big celebrities, Robin Williams.
That's right. Channel 10 opened with, I think, an episode from Series 4.
As the first thing they showed.
Because it had Sharon Stone in it.
Yeah.
And they would play two in 1 hour. They would do that thing of cutting the credits off the first episode and making it like it was one long hour-long episode. And then they played one from the first series, so Larry actually had two different wives in the course of the hour, just mystifying.
So that's one I've done. And the other one, I'm still on The West Wing, which is I've been watching since Breakfasters as a result of parenting seeming to curtail the
I've never seen The West Wing. Is it good?
Good, yeah. And Series 6 is apparently the return to form, because it was originally written by Aaron Sorkin, who I think had experience in that world. Or he certainly... The first four series are crackers. Series 5 is weird, because all the characters do stuff that they wouldn't do because someone else is writing
it.
And
right.
Series 6, they get their act together. It doesn't return to Sorkin writing, but it's I'm apparently back on track, which is good. Leo, there's reasons why Leo has behaved not like Leo for a series and a half.
Okay, so. Was it all a dream, like in Dallas? The whole series was a dream.
No, I think they're going to create. I won't go into it, but it's certainly worth a watch. The West Wing,
The Wire. That's a good one.
Yeah,
that was. You know, do you do that thing of? I try to make a top 10 movie list every year, and in recent years, I've had to go. But I haven't seen any movies that's as good as Deadwood or The Sopranos. So I've started making a series of TV shows my best film of the year. And so that was, last year was one of those. I went, nothing I've seen at the movies is as good as Series 5 of The Wire.
So we are asking for callers again, just so that the office can be bombarded with people ringing up and saying, I'm watching The Thick of It on the BBC.
How good was that?
Terrific.
That was a great show. And it got sort of the prime time screening time of, 9:40 on a Friday on the ABC. And it got caned by The Green Guide. I know so many people who didn't watch it because The Age was so anti The Thick of It. But this is a show that won all of the BAFTA awards about 2 years ago for best writing and best acting. And I know that the lead actor in it, Chris Langham, has had some legal problems, which we don't need to go into. But that sort of...
It was an interesting Christmas special, wasn't it? They couldn't have him involved.
Well, that's
involved.
Right. He was the main character in the first series.
What's it set in?
It's basically like Yes Minister, but if Yes Minister was a realistic documentary. That's the best way to describe it. It's the Prime Minister's advisory group, if you like, in England. And there's a guy in it called Peter Capaldi, who was, I think... might have been the nice young man and local hero, and he's now the most foul-mouthed Scottish character in the history of television, and that's just a great character. And and Chris Langham played the Minister of Social Services, and he was the main character in the series. He then went to jail in real life, so they went, how can we continue the series? And there were 2 one-hour specials done where his character is on a plane and the plane can't land at Heathrow. It's just full of people on the phone going, no, there's still no sign of you. He can't land. But those specials were fantastic, and they're not on DVD yet. And I think the only way you would be able to see them would be to obtain them legally off the internet, which, of course, we can't condone.
No one would do that.
But it is probably the only way you'll see it. And if you are a fan of The Thick of It, then they've now done a movie of The Thick of It with James Gandolfini, with Tony Soprano. Actually starring in it with Peter Capaldi and Chris Addison and the British cast.
And there's no... You can't go to JB and get this one either.
Yes, it's just come out.
Oh, it has?
Yeah, so Series 1 of The Thick of It is in Australia now.
Excellent. Now, we are opening the phone. We haven't got any calls yet for...
So we want people to call up with great series you've seen on DVD.
Exactly. So the new era... Because this is... you're someone who's had a little bit of a taste of commercial television. I'm sort of rejoicing, I guess, over the last few years as you watch these empires that have been built on real disrespect for, for the consumer. Like we can smash you with ads. We can, the sort of thing we're talking about with Sanders, no regard to continuity, no real belief in storytelling as art.
You're too stupid to watch The Wire or Curb Your Enthusiasm or Sopranos. We're just going to feed you a constant diet of 2.5 men.
And
you
suddenly,
idiots.
And suddenly it feels as though the world has been unshackled because we can avoid commercial television.
Well, you go down, if you go down to, say, a JB Hi-Fi on a Saturday, you will see people just walking out with bags of TV series. Not intellectual nerds like myself, normal people.
That make their top five. Normal people making their top five for the year at
just
home.
With bags of things like The Sopranos and Arrested Development and Gerber Enthusiasm and The Wire and Deadwood and all the shows that they've been told they're, you know, they're not allowed to see.
Yeah.
Bugger it, we'll just go and buy them. And if you go to your video shop to rent something now, at my video shop, the wall of TV series
bigger.
Is bigger than the wall of new movies.
Yep, yep. We've got some callers. Here they come. Hello, are you ringing up with a DVD recommendation? Hello?
Hello.
How are you going?
Oh, g'day, boys. How are you?
Good.
Ben?
How are you?
Yeah, just ironically, just speaking about Chris Langan before, I sat down yesterday and watched People Like Us.
Oh, yes, which he was the off-screen narrator of.
That's right, yeah. It was the first series. I picked it up at JB a couple of weeks ago.
Worth a look?
It's fantastic, yeah.
It's pretty funny. How would you describe it for someone who hasn't seen it?
Well, basically, you've got the interviewer, played by Chris Langan, who you very rarely see. Sometimes he pops in and out of the screen, depending on the scenario. So you might see him in a mirror, or you might see him as... In context of whatever he's interviewing, but he basically just interviews people in different jobs. So he goes, yesterday, I think, in the DVD was the real estate agent, the school teacher, policeman, etc., etc.
And it's that office style, is it? The mockumentary sort of...
Yeah, it's total mockumentary, and you can certainly see elements of The Office and how they got influenced as well, or Ricky Gervais got influenced. It's brilliantly done. I'm not sure how many more series there are. Just wondering if Tony knew.
I have to say, I haven't got started on People Like Us yet. I remember it as a radio show for years. They did it on radio first. It's Roy Mallard, isn't it? That's the character.
Yeah, Roy Mallard, and it was on the ABC about 10 or 12 years ago now.
I'm not sure how many... I think there was only two series, but the premise, I guess, is that Roy Mallard is meant to be an impartial observer of a situation, and he, of course, ends up interfering in it and changing the documentary content, as it were.
And there's a constant joke going through where each of the people always say to him, are you married?
Yes.
And they're quite surprised by that because he's so poorly dressed.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's time. I'm going to finally dive into People Like Us, but that's definitely out on DVD here.
Excellent.
Yes, I got it at JB a couple of weeks ago.
Excellent.
Thank you for that suggestion.
No worries, boys. Thank you.
Hello. Have you got a suggestion for us?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm talking to you now?
Yes, you are.
Oh, good. Hi. How are you?
Good. Two Tonys here on Summer on the Blower.
Yes, it's good. I'd like to talk about the L Word series, which is really good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, I've never seen the L Word series, but take us through it.
It's based in Los Angeles. It's a soap to do with a group of lesbians in Los Angeles.
And they're all really hot, aren't they?
They are really hot.
They are very hot.
So it keeps the heterosexual audience interested.
And is it a good show?
It's fantastic. I'm addicted to it.
How many series of that are there on DVD?
There's five. The last season, season six, is coming out on in the States in about a couple of weeks' time.
Is it when you talk soap, is there something you'd liken it to in terms of the kind of, is it fantastical soap or is it more realist soap, I guess?
Fantastic soap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's outlandish things happen, do they? Where you just, oh my God, look what's happened next, sort of thing.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I've kind of cringed through a few scenes, but overall it's pretty funny and it's pretty sad at the same time, if that makes sense.
And pretty saucy too. I reckon it probably set the record for this few episodes I've seen for just backing up sex scene onto sex scene. They can fit in sort of three or four an episode, it felt like.
Sometimes they do. Actually, I heard in series 5 there's loads more sex scenes.
Right.
Something must have happened.
but that was on request from the audience, so.
Right.
All right. The L word.
L word. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.
Hello. Speaking to Summer on the Blower about DVD selections. Hello.
Hi. Am I on air?
Yes, you are.
Sorry. I was just going to mention the extras on the DVDs of the US version of The Office, actually. They have, like, a lot of deleted material on them.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Pardon?
Good stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, you know, like, I mean, you know, I do respect the US series and stuff, and, you know, I know it's, like, a bit of a feel-good kind of thing, but...
I guess people who... A lot of people just sort of tripped over the first episode because it was kind of a remake of the British one, and it just felt all wrong.
Yeah.
And I was one of those people, and then most people say to me, no, you've got to give it a go and get a bit further into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's interesting on the whole question of extras. I know Tony Martin is well and truly up there in terms of...
Easter eggs. Indeed.
Easter eggs.
I love Easter eggs.
You tried to set a record, didn't you, with Easter eggs?
We did an old thing that we did in the 90s called Bar Jars, and the olden days was a serial on The Late Show, and we finally put it out on DVD, and my aim was to be the first DVD with more hidden content than content. We didn't make that, but we did have, I think, I've forgotten now, but I think there's 17 Easter eggs. It might be a record, I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure it has to be close.
There's over an hour's worth of hidden material on that DVD.
Yeah, and I guess I was also going to mention things like, you know, they're finally releasing Dr. Katz.
Dr. Katz.
And I think they're releasing Duckman.
There's some great... I tell you what hasn't come out here yet that does need to come out is Freaks and Geeks. Have you ever seen that?
I didn't actually ever, you know, because it screened so late, you know.
It was on Channel 9.
To do with all the good material, you know.
It was in the prestigious that. 2 in so the morning that, slot.
Was that written by the Buffy guy?
No. It's
the connection again. I can't remember.
Is there a Buffy connection?
He'd done something else before. Sorry,
It was created by a man called Paul Feig, who, in fact, we mentioned Larry Sanders was a cast member in the It's Gary Shandling show way back in the 80s, and who recently, sadly, directed the... American remake of Kath and Kim, but he's a great director. He did a lot of episodes of Arrested Development, and he created this show called Freaks and Geeks with Judd Apatow.
That's who it was, Judd Apatow.
And it was a lot of the Judd Apatow actors, like Jason Segel and Seth Rogen, and it's just a really great show.
And it's kind of set in the world of nerds.
It's a high school show, and I guess it follows from a distance. You would say it's just a standard going to high school show, but it's from the point of view of the outsiders, the nerds and the geeks, and it's really great.
So at the moment, you'd be reduced to going on the internet,
yes,
and doing an international purchase.
Yes, you can do a legal international purchase. It's 18 one-hour episodes, and it's very highly recommended.
Excellent. Freaks and Geeks. Thank you for The Office.
Another series, drama one, just Huff that Hank Azaria did.
Oh, Huff! Was that good?
Yeah, it was, like, the first series is perfect, and, like, the finale of the first season is just absolutely amazing. Like, everything basically just, you know, comes to a head of everyone is in a very crazy place.
Right, well, listen, we're getting quite a good list here. Huff!
Excellent. Yeah, Hank, Frank, thank you for that. We'll keep moving through these ones. Hello. Have you got a DVD recommendation for us?
Hello?
Hello. Oh, hi. You're on. There's no build-up on this show.
What's your name, madam?
Tanya.
Tanya. What have you got?
I love Lolly Scramble, too.
Oh, very nice. Thank you. Still in print.
I got into a series called Spaced.
I just watched that all over again just last week.
Yeah, I love it. Absolutely love it.
People have seen Shaun of the Dead and was the follow-up?
Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz,
yes. And I just love all the characters in it with Tim and Daisy, and I love Marsha. Hello, Brian.
Yes. And it's based on probably the oldest premise in the history of comedy, which is two people have to pretend to be a couple in order to rent a flat. But it's
Better than Green Card.
It's done better than Wedlocked. Yeah. It's done better than you've, you know, it's that really undersells it to announce that as the premise, because it's all about the characters, and it's also shot amazingly like a movie.
Yes, and it's got lots of references to cult films. And
oh, it's
how,
a nerd fest.
The main character, Tim, hates the trilogy of Star Wars.
And yes,
it always
yeah.
pops up.
Well, do you have a favourite episode of Spaced? Do you like the animal rescue one's one of my favourites?
I like the paintball one.
Yeah.
Paintball's very good. I love that. And when they go and rescue the dog as well.
And the one where they go to the nightclub.
Yes.
That is so good.
Yeah, and it's a great show. And I also love The Mighty Boosh.
Mighty Boosh. And another, and just that's linking, I think the last episode of Spaced begins with an exact replica of the opening titles of the Royal Family.
Yes.
And having seen that, I went, I haven't watched the Royal Family for a while, and I've started watching that again. That is so funny. So it's just when Jim Royal and the grandmother start going at each other, that is where I just lose it completely. It's so funny.
And while I fumble around with the telephone here to move to the next caller, Tony can maybe share his thoughts on why shows like Spaced and The Royal Family don't seem to get much of a run on the ABC.
Well, you want me to... have we got enough time for me to crank up? The Royal Family was, like The Office, a show that was rejected by the ABC and then became a hit on Foxtel. And then the ABC belatedly decided they'd been wrong about it and decided to show it. Spaced was screened on the ABC, but it was shown on a Tuesday night at 10. And the second series, I'm not joking, the second series of Spaced was premiered at 12:30 on Saturday nights on the ABC.
Well,
and it's a shame. It's such a great show.
Great show.
Brilliant
and,
show.
More people should go out and get it. I highly recommend it. And have you heard of Snuffbox as well?
Snuffbox is a very weird show Matt. Oh, I can't remember the two guys who do it.
Mighty Boosh.
One of the guys from Garth Marenghi's... Matt Berry from Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, and an American guy whose name I can't recall. Very weird sketch comedy show.
Yes, very weird. Not many people get into it. But if you like Boosh, then...
Good one.
Bang, dive in.
We'll have one more and then we'll play one of our songs. Hello, you're on. Have you, we got a caller there? Hello? Hello? Lost that one.
No, very quiet.
Hello, have we got a caller, a DVD recommendation? Oh, no, still no. Hello?
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 Hi.
Who are you, madam?
My name's Alan.
And what have you got for us?
I really got into a show on cable called Dead Like Me.
Oh, now explain what Dead Like Me is.
It's about a girl who becomes a Grim Reaper at the age of 19 when a toilet seat from a falling spaceship lands on her and kills her. And she's handpicked to be Grim Reaper, so it's her job to be there and touch people and take their spirit out of their body before they die. And it's a really dark, dark comedy, and it's absolutely hilarious.
Wow, so it is a comedy.
It's a comedy. It's a dark comedy.
American?
Canadian.
Canadian.
Dead Like Me.
Dead Like Me. I highly recommend it. It was on cable, and it's available from JB Hi-Fi. And I've got both series, and I absolutely love it. I can watch it again. And I went and got Carnival, if you remember.
Oh, Carnival, another HBO series.
I just started watching that last night. I got it yesterday.
Wow.
I love it. I've ordered the second series and absolutely love it. And like the woman before it was on, I really got into space and it's a brilliant show.
I got my videos, VHSs, signed by Simon Pegg and Nick.
What's his name? Nick Frost.
Nick Frost. They signed my videos, and it was one of those real tongue-tied celebrity moments at the front of the theatre that they spoke at.
But they were really nice blokes.
They are nice blokes.
Really good guys.
Thank you to all our DVD recommenders there. We'll be back with more of you, but in the meantime, this is Muscles. The Clean. They're from New Zealand.
Yes.
You are on Two Tonys. We should find some sort of witty name, really, for Two Tonys.
Wasn't there,
on the blower?
There was Tony, wasn't there? Wasn't that somebody?
Was there? Tony.
I think there was.
Not in my time, Tony, there hasn't been.
Maybe it was in my mind.
So at 9 minutes to 12, we're coming into our last 9 minutes, actually, having really... we've really just wandered over the areas of, would you call it the arts?
Yeah, the arts. Let's call it that.
The arts without dance, in brackets, after the arts, because neither of us know much about dance.
But there's been a lot of good recommendations from the listeners.
Well, we've got Before the Clean, which are a New Zealand band, as I mentioned. We heard from... who did we put on before that? Do you remember?
Or various people recommending various DVD collections. And I must emphasise again, The Royal Family, if you've never seen it, R-O-Y-L-E. I hadn't seen it for years, and I'd just forgotten how kick-ass funny it is.
Well, we've got a couple more callers on DVD topic, so let's go to them. Hello, we got a DVD recommendation.
Hello, yes, Tony, how are you?
Yeah, hello.
What have you got for us?
Look, it's not a DVD as yet, but it should be. Timothy Stack, who features in Son of the Beach and pops up on My Name is Earl...
Oh, yes.
...was in a show called Nightstand. It was a spoof of all the Jerry Springer-type shows.
Yes, and it sort of fooled people into thinking it might be for real, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The first time I saw it, I thought it was real, but it is just the funniest take on the Jerry Springer... type shows. It's hilarious, and it's never popped up anywhere, and I'd love to get it if it was available.
I've never known that to be on DVD. That might have to be a YouTube search, I think, for that one.
I guess so. Well, there were many, many episodes. I've actually got a stack on video now, but nothing to play them on at the moment, but great memories, very funny.
Nightstand. Well, we'll look forward to that on DVD.
And I can highly recommend the process of getting out your old VHSs and purchasing for a couple hundred bucks a DV recorder, I think they're called, and you can move... You put it on your hard disk. You can record videos onto your hard disk and
wow.
then dub them off onto DVD.
It takes forever, but it's well worth it.
It's great. You can relive... your youth while you do it. Thank you for that recommendation. We've got another one here. Hello. Who are we speaking to?
Oh, hello, it's Helen.
Hi, Helen.
Hi. Sorry, can you hear me? I'm on a mobile.
You're loud.
Yeah. When I'm waiting to Mount Buller to do all tomorrow.
Oh,
parties.
Great.
Yeah, I've just got a recommendation called The Green Wing, which is an English show. It's set in a hospital, and it's sort of depicted as a very sort of serious drama, but it's very, very black humour. Lots of actors that you'd recognise from... there's a lot of rivalry between two doctors, an anaesthetist and a surgeon. The main chap's in Confetti. He's in the film Confetti. And it follows the misfortunes of this young doctor who is the girl in Black Books. And there's a lot of these quirky characters, the radio... The actor in that was in Big Train. So
yes, Mark Heap, who was also
they're all absolutely mad. You don't see a patient throughout the whole thing. But it's actually filmed in a hospital, and they have this really unusual technique where they speed things up. But that was because there was actually things like ambulances going past at the time, and they actually had to sort of speed up to edit it out. So the humour's really, really dark, very abstract, but really recommend that. And also getting back to People Like Us, there's some really good episodes of that. There's a really good one about a photographer with Bill Nighy.
Oh, yes.
And again, the girl from Black Books, she plays a single mother, which is just fantastic. And David Tennant as well is in there as well. There's an episode playing an actor, which is really, really excellent. So, yeah. So I think you can get The Green Wing. It wasn't on...
it was on Foxtel, I think.
It was on Foxtel, yeah. I think it's on... You find it on Amazon or play.com, yeah, one of those English websites.
All right, thanks,
Good
Helen.
Good stuff, Helen. Enjoy ATP, as I've heard people call
it. Okay, thanks, guys. Thank you.
Helen.
For me, that's the Association of Tennis Professionals, but I never really had much music credibility on this station. Hello, have you got a recommendation for us?
Yeah, I was going to recommend Harvey Birdman.
I love Harvey Birdman.
Adult Swim stuff, basically, at least C-Lab 2020, etc.
I know you can get the first two series. I'm not sure if series three has come out here yet.
Nah, well, you know, I mean, do people still buy DVDs, that are manufactured in Australia?
I'm not sure if they do, ooh. But how would you describe Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, to someone who hasn't seen it?
Well, basically, it's all of the Hanna-Barbera cartoons that that one would have grown up with, hopefully, if you're not too young, and... basically, they've put in the setting of a much older cartoon, Hanna-Barbera character called Harvey Birdman, but now he's an attorney.
Well, that's right. In the 60s, Birdman, he was just called Birdman. Oh, exactly. It was a fairly unsuccessful superhero.
Yep.
And it's as though someone has gone, let's buy the rights to Birdman, put him in a suit, but still with the mask and the wings, and call him Harvey Birdman. And he is every episode him defending a famous cartoon character, like the Scooby-Doo cast are accused of smoking dope, etc.?
Yeah, or the Fred Flintstone one where he's the Tony Soprano.
That's right. And is that where they've got the opening... It's like the opening credits of the Flintstones in the style of the Sopranos?
Absolutely.
Very funny stuff. But it does get extremely weird.
It's got Stephen Colbert in it doing voices, so...
Yeah, that's right. No, it's a very good show, but strap yourself in for some weirdness.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for that contribution. We are... actually at the end of our listener contributions. I thought, though, as they rattle off, you mentioned The Wire earlier on,
great
and
show.
You also mentioned that shows are now in your lists. Can you just bang out the last Mad Men, I think, is one you're keen on?
Mad Men was fantastic, and Series 2 is going out on Foxtel at the moment. That really is a good show. I mean, it's a slow burn.
Takes a while to get into it.
Yeah, it takes a while, and it's quite... subtle, a lot of it. That's if people haven't seen it, it's about advertising men in the 60s. Well, the first series is set in 1960, the second series is set in 62, and I think the idea is they're going to jump 2 years with every series.
Told me a really nice touch that there's a scene where they go on a picnic and they just shake the rug all the rubbish goes everywhere.
And they just get in the car and drive off. And it was surrealism. I'm going, is that a dream sequence? What the hell is that? And I got on the internet and looked that up. And apparently, no. It was just the concept of picking up litter is a recent idea. It made me flash back to when I was a kid in New Zealand in the 70s. They had a campaign called Be a Tidy Kiwi. And there was a cartoon kiwi showing you how to... This is a revolutionary idea, everyone. Pick up your rubbish and put it in the bin.
Yeah.
And it was, up until then, people would just chuck stuff in the street. It was just standard practice.
And speaking of New Zealand, you're off there next week, is that
I'm
right?
off to New Zealand to, engineer the finale of my new book.
So, the key chapter?
I'm setting myself a challenge in that, the last chapter of the book hasn't actually happened yet.
So you're writing non-fiction about an event that should happen when you get there, should you engineer it?
I'm not going to change events at all. Whatever happens when I go there to this town, this particular town, is going to be the ending of the book.
Are you allowed to say what the town is?
Oh, I better not, actually. There could be some trouble because some of my relatives may be listening.
Absolutely. Well, we are finishing up. It's been a lovely 3 hours. Thank you so much for your generous contribution. IMDb, the man who I ring when my internet goes down and I need to know who was the director of photography on an obscure late 90s UK film. Tony Martin is that man.
That would be Terry Bedford.
Excellent. Thank you for your 3 hours. Thank you to you, the callers, for contributing over the last hour and a half. I'm Tony Wilson, former breakfaster, now wishing I was still one, but it's gave up my chance.
And
it's
much over. Too nice to plug your own books, but they're all out there and very fine.
They are. Thank you very much. And we'll go out with a song from... I think it's from Darren Hanlon. I think that's what I ended up going with. No, I didn't. This is we weren't doing movies earlier on, but this is by Klinkerfield. And the story I love about this song is that when Spike Jonze was in Australia filming Where the Wild Things Are, he would listen to Triple R for a lot of his time. He was pleased that Angus Sampson actually put him onto the station,
right,
and he listened a lot. And this was a song... Klinkerfield, who were playing at the Tote at the time, can now at least happily say that they are on Spike Jonze's iPod. And the song is A House Is Not a Home. We'll finish up here, and Styland's coming up next.